AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Take a pause from your to-do list with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
As it turns out, flooding isn't all bad.
No, not at all. Most people tend to equate flooding with disaster, understandably so. But flooding can actually do just the opposite sometimes, too. Like at Congaree National Park, where floods represent the circle of life, to borrow a line from The Lion King.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Down in this part of South Carolina, flooding is as natural as barbecue. And it's a reoccurring phenomenon that makes Congaree so special.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Brad. This is Parklandia.
We packed up our loft in Chicago, moved into an RV with our dog Finn, and now we're traveling the country full-time visiting America's national parks. Today, we're talking about Congaree National Park in South Carolina.
History.
Congaree is a park that shows the benefits of floodwaters since the park is 24,000 acres of floodplain of the Congaree River. The massive trees and the vegetation here depends on floods to carry nutrients into their roots and keep the forest floor healthy.
Right. Down here, this process is not a crisis. And in fact, it's a cycle that this landscape is designed for and thrives in. These trees were also an attractive beacon for Native Americans initially, as well as explorers and settlers as well.
Yeah, the park gets its name from the Congaree River, of course, which gets its name from the Congaree Indians who lived here for centuries before smallpox reared its ugly little head in the 1700s.
Yeah, really sad. But their namesake river and park live on for visitors to marvel at today, and that's great. And we really respect and admire that. As it turns out, though, the floodplain was not as welcoming to farmers and loggers as it was to the Congaree Indians.
Nope. All the standing water made it really difficult for farming in this area, and people trying to capitalize on the abundance of huge trees by cutting them down as a log wound up with more than they could ever chew. I mean, they couldn't get their equipment across the terrain because it was too soft and too muddy, and then when they attempted to float the fallen trees down the river, most of them sank because they were just so dense and heavy already.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I'm sure it sucked and it was really annoying for these farmers and loggers, but this is like a primary, really good example of nature saying no and like putting a stop to this and just kind of taking back control, which is beautiful. And you have to really...
It really is beautiful.
I'm sure I'd be saying a different thing if I was a farmer back then, but
absolutely.
Fortunately I'm not. And eventually these wannabe loggers were able to develop equipment that could navigate the difficult landscape, but at this point they had another thing stopping them. The Sierra Club.
Gotta love the Sierra Club.
Love them. So these tree saviors, they stepped in and helped protect the region initially as the Congaree Swamp National Monument in 1976, even though this isn't really a swamp at all, so that's kind of a misnomer, technically. But let's not nitpick a good thing.
No, let's not.
And then Congaree was upgraded to a national park in 2003, making it one of the country's younger parks.
Yeah, nowadays you don't need an ARC to navigate this park either.
No, you don't. Kayaks and canoes do just fine. And in fact, this is one of the best national parks for paddling. So I think we should just get right into it and talk about our kayaking trip in Congaree, because this is like the star attraction here.
River.
Similar to the waterway parks in the Everglades, this is one place where you have to paddle in order to really appreciate the essence of it.
Yeah, very true. There are plenty of trails here, and we'll talk about those and how terrific they are later. But at its core, Congaree really is a water park, first and foremost.
Indeed. First, though, you got to make sure you are visiting at the right time in order to make the most of it and kayak without getting lost in the maze of trees.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the water there, it goes from really low and it can go up to 10 feet higher than its lowest point.
That's completely insane. So that's what we mean when we say timing is everything here. And there are certain seasons that are ideal for kayaking and certain seasons that are completely treacherous and impassable. So you got to do a little research, call the Congaree Visitor Center before you book your trip or before you stop in, and especially before you head out in the water, because if the water rises above the riverbed levels, then this completely turns the forest into a labyrinth of trees. And that's not good.
No, and you only want to be a dedicated like kayaker to that area to be able to navigate through
that. Yes, absolutely. So in the wintertime, that's when most of the park's flooding occurs. So that's the time of year that it's the riskiest, and you're going to want to be a little reticent. But do keep in mind that river flooding can happen at any time of year. It happens about a dozen times a year. So it's not like a constant, regular thing. And for the most part, Congaree is accessible, but it's just something to keep in mind and be prepared for as you map out your Congaree paddle trip.
Yeah, the kayak outfitters usually don't operate that time of the year because as the river floods, you know, it's harder to find those routes along the trees and it becomes that big maze that we were talking about. And, you know, you also have to deal with Congaree's summer months, which really get really humid, really buggy. And so it's best to visit in the spring or the fall.
Yeah, this is clearly a place of extremes. You either contend with horrific flooding, potentially, or horrific mosquito swarms, almost definitely, in the summer months. And I would rather not deal with either of those. So spring or fall are ideal. And we did a spring trip. This was like, what was it, early spring? So temperature was very comfortable. Mosquito levels were low. And the river and stream were very accessible. And I remember starting our trip here, we went into the visitor center, which had this surprisingly cute mosquito meter, they called it. It has an array of different numbers on it, 1 through 6. And they adjust an arrow pointing at these different numbers based on the mosquito levels outside. 1, obviously, is the lowest, and that means all clear. 2 means mild. And then it goes all the way up to 6, which means war zone. And that sounds insane. I do not want to experience that.
No, you don't want to be here when there's a mosquito war zone.
I can't imagine. No. Also, the park offers free guided canoe trips in the spring, too, which is an awesome option and yet another reason why you should visit here in the spring and wait, just like sit winter out.
Yeah, I think we just barely missed that window.
We did. We were like a week before the canoe trips were starting. So that tends to happen a lot to us. We'll like barely miss something. That happened like, where were we? I think it was like Carlsbad Caverns where they were going to do their bat tours or something.
Yeah, no,
and we're
absolutely.
Like, we missed it by like 3 days. So great timing on our part.
Yeah, story of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it worked out fine, though, because we were able to book that guided kayak trip with the nearby outfitter. They brought all the boat, the equipment, and took us for a few hours on Cedar Lake.
Yeah, Cedar Creek, actually. And,
ah, that's right.
Right. So that worked out the best, and even though it wasn't free and it cost a little bit of money, I thought it was totally worth it, because this is a must-do experience here, kayaking, and I loved the route we took. It was so much fun and really beautiful. We did Cedar Creek instead of Congaree River, so it's a much smaller waterway that winds directly through this dense forest filled with huge trees.
Yeah, the Congaree has the largest trees east of the Mississippi. I mean, these things are just enormous, especially the loblolly pines, cypress trees, and the tupelos. Mm. The cypress and the tupelos are the ones most commonly found at water level, and then typically with their roots buried deep underwater.
Right. That's how they endure, and they don't, like, topple over or anything because they're so, like, deep underground, and they can contend with the water levels rising up,
yes,
going down and whatnot. And there are so many of these trees that they form the largest old-growth bottomland hardwood forest in the country. This basically means huge trees that grow in floodplains like this, and they're tall. Like, the tree canopy averages about 130 feet, which is really hefty for East Coast trees. So, yeah, there's a lot of tree eye candy here. And if you're a tree enthusiast, like I'm probably an amateur tree enthusiast, I guess. I appreciate them. This was great and really fun experience. And these trees, they provide a really expansive canopy for the creek, rising tall enough and thick enough that they block out direct sunlight.
Yeah, and so, for us, this was really helpful because it helped block out the rain, too.
Yeah, that was a huge benefit because this was a drizzly day. It was kind of gray, so sun wasn't really much of an annoyance, but the rain could have put a damper on the day, and the trees came to our rescue, and it was very convenient. I think here and there we felt just a little bit of, like, droplets and stuff, but absolutely nothing to freak out about.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And I think, actually, the weather really fit the vibe of the creek because this creek was, like, eerie and dark and ominous and misty and
Mystical.
Yeah, it was, like, a little, it looked like kind of a haunted forest, to be honest.
Oh, it did.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like having a like, gray, drizzly day just really cemented that vibe. And it made it really fun, too. Not, like, you know, scorching hot or anything like that. So we were able to relax and paddle for a few hours. Along the way, we were able to learn about the variety of trees and how popular the park is for birders as well.
Yeah, apparently it's filled with owls and woodpeckers especially.
Two of my faves.
Yeah, and you can occasionally hear them both making noises as you paddle along the peacefully quiet creek. There's also 8 species of woodpeckers here.
That's a lot of woodpeckers.
Yeah, it's amazing. So many. I had no idea that there are that many different species of woodpeckers at all.
No, me neither. I only really knew about the one with, like, the red head or whatever. You know, like Woody the Woodpecker. Like, whatever he's based on, I am aware of that species of woodpecker and nothing else.
So as far as I'm concerned. The animated series. That's all you know.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's my template for woodpeckers as far as I'm concerned.
And that's mine too.
Good. Great. We're on the same page.
Yep. Same page.
Yeah. So prime example, Congaree is educating us and enlightening us, being like, hey, there's a whole world of woodpeckers out here beyond
Woody.
Cartoon. Yeah. And it was exciting to learn about that and hear them too. You could hear them off in the distance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was really exciting. And this park is actually designated as a globally important bird area too, which is pretty impressive. The park even does something called owl prowls, which is, I'm sure, as exciting as it is cute sounding.
Yes.
And I'm dying to do this. It takes place at night, naturally, and it's a ranger guided tour that takes you out into the woods to listen for and see owls. I'm so into that, and I'm hoping the next time we're here, we can do one of these owl prowls, because that would be so much fun.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Right. I was also hoping to see some river otters, too, because we were told that there was a chance of that along Cedar Creek, but no luck, unfortunately. I'd love it if there was some kind of otter prowl, actually. I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat. I would do that.
Yeah, instead, we saw a bunch of torn up ground along the banks of the creek caused by those pecksy little wild feral hogs.
Yeah. So, not as cute.
No. Mm-hmm. And a super invasive species. I mean, clearly taking things up, tearing them up, you know, they dig for the vegetation and all that.
Right. With no concern for presentation.
No. Nope.
Just like hideous mounds of dirt on the side of the creek. Like, thanks. Nice job, guys. But on another note, it's really great to get into a kayak or canoe here because of how leisurely and relaxed it is. And it's not strenuous. Like, the creek was moving, but it's going so slow that you don't even notice it. You can easily go upstream without even using too much muscle or strain. And that's another reason why this is a great trip for kids and families, too. If you're a newbie at kayaking or canoeing, Congaree is an awesome option.
Yeah, it's a totally slow-moving creek, and, you know, you get to meet some amazing people. But we're going to tell you more about that after this short break.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Brad. This is Parklandia, and today we're talking about Congaree National Park.
Yes, we are. So on this kayak trip, not only was it super, super fun and enlightening to as an activity, but one of our favorite things was we were able to meet a couple of folks who were visiting Congaree from Columbia, South Carolina for work. They were in town for, I think, a conference of some sort, and they had like the first half of the day free, or maybe the whole day free. So they researched things to do in the area, and Columbia is not too far from Congaree. It's like 25 miles or something.
Yeah.
It's reasonable. Close enough that they were able to take a Lyft or an Uber and drop them off at the river, which that's impressive.
It was kind of funny because like as they pulled up, they were getting out of the vehicle and they had their coffees and like bagels, like, you know, in their bags hanging out of their mouth and stuff. And it was just kind of funny. Like, I'm like, God, is that, that's what we look like when we get out of a Lyft somewhere.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, it was funny because some people were like, who are these people? And we're like, you're going to be our friends. I get it.
the bagel brigade over here rolling in. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like Brad, he was, like looking for things to do, and he was going to do this, and then he told the same name.
Brad, you're not just referring to yourself.
No, I'm not. Yeah, not myself.
Right.
But then he told Lila about going on a kayaking trip, and she's like, "Sign me up too."
Yes, yes. I love the enthusiasm. I love the effort they put into it because that's kind of how we travel too. Like whether we're looking for an RV space or if we're just kind of in a town or a city or whatever, we like research things to do in the nearby area and then put the effort in and realize that it's doable. Like, from Columbia, the state's capital, and like a sizable city, you're not too far from Congaree. You're not too far from this crazy, wild, like, kayak trip, this little adventure. And I'm really glad that they did that and that ultimately we were able to meet them. And they were able to even meet our dog, Finn, and check out our RV.
Yeah,
well,
because they couldn't get an RV going back into town, and we were going that way anyway. So we were just like, well, come on with us. We'll do it. We'll shoot for this. This is what this lifestyle's about. And I remember we wanted to bring Finn on this trip in the kayaks, but dachshunds plus kayaks, they don't really go well together. But it would be cute to see him in a life vest.
Yeah, no, not really at all. So these guys, Brad and Lila, like I remember talking with them while we're kayaking and just they were asking about us and vice versa. And then they learned about Finn and they were so excited. They're like, oh my gosh, like we would love to meet him, you know, naturally. Everyone wants to meet Finn.
And he's a little rock star.
I'm glad that it worked out because And it needed to work out, too, because when you take a Lyft or an Uber out to Congaree, one thing to keep in mind is you could probably get there from Columbia, but getting back is a whole other story.
Yeah, that's going to be much more difficult.
Not doable. And the service out there is not great. As with most national parks, you don't have great phone service. So you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, but, you know, there's more to do in Congaree than just paddle. And while we had a great time with them, the next day we hit the trails.
Trails.
Congaree has not a ton of trails, and the trails they do have are not super long. There's not a lot of elevation here, so it's nothing too strenuous, nothing mountainous whatsoever, but...
No, there's only about 20 miles of trails here,
like total.
But they're all really fascinating and impressive. They're, you know, like that boardwalk trail, which is definitely a highlight here. It's this easy, like, scenic 2.5 mile loop from the Henry Hampton Visitor Center.
Yeah, Harry Hampton Visitor Center. And it is really nice. That's a beautiful boardwalk and very accessible for everybody, like regardless of age, size, like physical ability. The fact that it's all just this flat, connected loop that takes you through some of the most scenic areas of the park is really good. They did a great job with that. And also, not only is it accessible for every type of human, it's great for dogs, too. Congaree is one of the more dog-friendly parks we've been to. And it was great for Finn, being so flat, he didn't get too exhausted.
No.
When we took him along part of the boardwalk with us. So we went through some of the woods. We went up on the boardwalk. He became, you know, the talk of the park when all the kids would walk by him.
Yeah, and we got a little, he wasn't too exhausted to continue, but I remember taking him back a little bit sooner so we can go into like the back parts of the other trails.
Right. we wanted to do more. And he's such tiny little legs that he does get tired much quicker than we do, for sure. And it's good to put him in like a nice, cool RV environment where you can have his water and just relax.
Air conditioning and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that longer trail that we decided to do was that Weston Lake Trail. You have to take the boardwalk to get there. The views from the boardwalk were amazing, especially with all the Spanish moss and the huge trees and all these like little features like the cypress knees, which are these like spiky-looking things that are jutting out of the earth. They're practically part of the tree's root system.
Yeah.
And help these giant trees stay firmly planted deep in the ground during the flooding.
Right. They look so weird. They look like alien formations, and they're jutting up out of the ground. Some of them are quite high, like a few feet high. And they're spread so far out across the land that you would never really think they're connected or part of the root system for these trees because they're not immediately next to it or anything. But it's just another thing, another fascinating fact you learn here. And it's no surprise that these trees are so firmly rooted with all these cypress knees sprawled out over the land here.
It was just nice because, you know, we were there when the floodplain had dried out. And we were able to do that trail. It's about 4.5 miles through some old growth forest. You know, it's along the shore of the Cedar Creek.
Yeah, so that same creek we kayaked the previous day, we were able to see it from a different perspective, which was really nice. And equally beautiful. So at the visitor center, a ranger told us that this is also a great trail for seeing some of the park's biggest trees. And she was not wrong. She did not lead us astray. And unsurprisingly, since this is a massive floodplain after all, things got pretty muddy along the way. But, well, you know, very worth it. And just suck it up. Get a little dirty.
Yeah, so much so that we actually lost the trail for a little bit, and we started to wander off of it. Remember when, because, like, the floodplain kind of covered it, and so we had to look for the markings on the trees. Well, there was, like, multiple marking styles, and I didn't know which ones to follow
at that point. It was confusing.
And so, like, we start walking off, and I'm following footprints and, like, tracking people, and then I'm like, nope, these are going right back to where we came from. And then so we like finally got back and then, you know, our shoes are all muddy at this point. And so,
I know,
but it's just kind of funny because it's like, it looks like a bunch of people got lost right at
it
that
did.
Particular point.
Because we were following footsteps. Like there was a lot of footsteps that kind of meandered off and it looked like they went right into this thick woods. So once we realized we were going the wrong way, I'm like, where did these people go? I hope they're okay. Not like lost in the forest here.
Yeah, they're actually like under the mud. Sorry, too dark. We found the trail pretty easily.
Yes.
You know, once we realized, oh, this doesn't look right.
Right.
But that's part of the adventure, right?
It definitely was. And this trail in particular was an adventure trail. It was really fun. and clearly dirty. So this trail was really hands-on, and you got to, like, scramble over logs and crawl under logs and get very, just, like, really into it. And it was fun. It's not just, like, a stroll through the woods. You're actually, like, leaping over things and crawling under things. And I wasn't expecting that necessarily, but I'm really glad that that turned out to be the case.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
My favorite.
We don't tell each other what this is, and I really want to hear what your favorite part about Congaree National Park was, Matt.
Okay. I think my favorite part was being able to go on that short hike with Finn.
Yes.
I love, in general, I love that boardwalk trail, and together you and I did the entire loop. But the segment we did with Finn was really exciting, and he was clearly very excited. And just taking it all in, seeing these enormous trees that made him, like,
light
seem
up.
Like a dot in comparison. Yeah, he was lit up.
That really was an amazing time. I mean, I love any time that we get to go on the trails with Finn. You know, no matter how long or how short a period of time, I just love seeing him out in nature and in the RV.
Because he's so excited and, like, just pulling at the leash with so much enthusiasm. And it's not often we get to do that in national parks, because not all national parks have dog-friendly trails. They're kind of a rarity, with a few exceptions, this being one of them. So as long as you have a leash that's 6 feet or less, then dogs are welcome. And he did a good job. And then we were able to continue on and explore and see other aspects of the boardwalk that went through really amazing areas and over these swampy-looking terrains. And one of my favorite sections of that boardwalk as well, to continue this boardwalk obsession, is it kind of goes out to this edge, this overlook over a broad river. And it looked more, it looked very Everglades-y to me, this body of water, just kind of, I guess it was a river. It looked like a slow-moving, big, broad river with woods so thick on the other side that you just couldn't see into them at all. Just like,
yeah,
beautiful.
I think that my favorite part was meeting our new friends. I mean, they were just, it was a surprise. And it was one of those short times in life where you're with somebody for, you know, 2 hours kayaking. Mm-hmm. You're not talking to them the whole time, but, and then getting asked for a ride back to town. Like, that's exactly what I expected when we started this lifestyle of RV living. And while that's not something I say, like, don't pick up, like, hitchhikers and strangers, you know, at least we got some supervised time with them. And the kayak people had their information. So just in case they ended up being mass murderers, we would make it, you know, they would find out who they are.
Yeah.
There was details on them.
Like, we wouldn't be okay if they turned out to be mass murderers.
Yeah, we'd be dead.
Wouldn't
but at least, like, they at least they could find out who did it.
Right.
You know?
Justice would be served.
Justice,
so it's a win-win for
if you want to kill me,
people.
Go ahead and kill me, but just make sure you leave a trail.
Please.
But no, that's honestly probably my favorite part
they
is because you get to meet new people.
I love that. And that's something that really stuck with us and make those connections and just, like, learn about them and what brought them there.
Yeah,
and
I remember, like, going when I went to Roswell, New Mexico, where Lila's from.
Which is crazy. I was so excited when she said she was from Roswell. I'm like, I have 1,000 questions for you.
Right. And I was just like, hey, we're in Roswell. Hope all's good. And, you know, we, like, touch base and, like, check in. And, you know, that's the part of the RV living that I truly love, is just meeting everybody, no matter how crazy, quirky, normal, weird.
Crazier and quirkier the better.
Yes.
Honestly.
But that's a true, amazing blessing that we get to have, is meeting all these wonderful people.
Yeah, more of that, please.
Yes.
So what three things would you bring to Congaree National Park?
Well, I'd bring a dog leash for Finn.
Yes.
And the harness, because we don't like to, he likes to choke himself if we just put it around his collar. So we actually have the harness that goes around his legs and his chest so he doesn't choke himself.
Right. Much better for him.
So I'd definitely bring that. Beyond that, I would bring my kayak, which I don't have. So
your dream kayak.
My dream kayak. Hint, you know, holidays, birthdays, whatever. They're all coming up. Anniversaries. And I'd probably bring a Finny-sized life vest, because seeing him in a life vest would be really amazing. It'd be like a T-Rex, like, on all four front legs, just swimming, and I just can't get over that.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, so the three things I would bring, would be bug spray, first and foremost.
Oh, wow. How did I forget that?
Yeah, I don't want to be caught off guard without that.
And even the park ranger said, don't try to use, like, the all-natural bug spray. She goes, it doesn't work, literally.
Yeah, she was very blunt and honest about that, which I appreciate. Because you need to be properly
bug spray
prepared. Yeah, even like we were there and it was the mosquito meter was really low. I think it was a 2 or something, so it was mild.
Yeah,
but even at mild, you're getting bitten by bugs. They're there probably year round for sure. So whatever the mosquito meter says, you need to be like sprayed down with bug spray. The other thing I would bring would be I think a set of binoculars would be beneficial because this is such a birding mecca.
And binoculars and Brock, because again, he loves bird watching.
Birds. Yeah. So I would bring those because I want to get a good look at the owls and the woodpeckers. I don't just want to hear them. I want to be able to see them, like, you know, up close-ish or whatever. And then I would also bring shoes you don't mind getting muddy because, like we said, you're inevitably going to dabble in a little bit of mud. And there was plenty of parts of that trail that we did where you're either directly in it or, like me, tiptoeing across some logs through it, trying not to fall in, trying to be balanced. But yeah, don't bring nice shoes here. Don't bring your Doc Martens. Don't bring other stuff. You know, you need to just be mindful that things are going to get dirty.
Well, I think these are all great things to bring on our dream vacation, which we should talk about next. I really think it'd be ideal to stay somewhere in Colombia. You know, it's the biggest city that's not too far away, and it's got a lot of great culture and history, and shockingly, surprisingly great cocktails at that bourbon bar.
Yeah, and that was really good. So the place is called, I think it's just called Bourbon, right? So it's a very straightforward name.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, probably not great for their SEO, but...
Well, it's probably like, fantastic memorable. For SEO.
Really? I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure. But yeah, Colombia was really interesting. I wish we spent more time there. And it would be nice to go back and stay there, do more things. I would love to tour that Capitol building. I have this growing obsession with Capitol buildings.
Yes, and we'll definitely have to make some reservations for the owl prowl.
Oh, and that for sure. Yeah, that's like my number one thing when we go back to Congaree is do more kayak trips and more hikes and stuff. But we have to do an owl prowl. I think that sounds like the coolest and most unique ranger program. And maybe also, speaking of other kayak trips, so we did the Cedar Creek. I think we could upgrade and do the Congaree River next time. So bigger,
yes,
longer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, and then there's that 50-mile route that goes from Colombia all the way down into the Congaree. We'd have to overnight it, but your crazy self would actually probably do it in one day.
Oh, I would love that. That's a great idea, and that'd be a win-win because we want to do both of those things. We could, you know, start the day, get all pumped up on bourbon at Bourbon Bar, then drift down the river for 50 miles. That sounds awesome.
Right. And then,
and
you
maybe
know,
terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely have to grab a permit from the visitor center first, though. But talk about an amazing adventure.
Yeah. Seriously, what an adventure.
You are listening to the Parklandia Podcast from iHeartRadio, hosted by Brad and Matt Kerouac.
We'll be back with more of the Parklandia Podcast from iHeartRadio.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more.
Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Brad. You are listening to the Parklandia podcast from iHeartRadio. We've been getting a couple questions from our listeners here at Parklandia through our social media, and we want to answer those. The first question we have is from Chantel, and she asked, is there a way that you commemorate your national park visits? Do you have patches, photo books, or stickers? What do you have?
Yes. Well, I definitely do that a lot. Mainly, it's my national parks passport book that I'm obsessed with. I first bought mine at Grand Teton National Park in 2017, I think. And you can get it at any visitor center in any national park across the country. And then also in any visitor center, you can get them stamped for free, which I do. And then I also always buy or look for stickers for whatever specific national park I'm in and then fill up my passport book with that as well. And I do that so much that I'm definitely running out of room. I had to buy, fortunately, these passport books have extra pages you can buy, which I've had to do.
Because since you first bought it, two additional national parks have been named.
That as well. So,
and one thing that I did is after Matt's trip to the Badlands in 2016, he really wanted to be inspired by national parks and to travel to national parks. And so what I actually ended up doing was for Christmas, I built him that national parks wall. And so basically, as we travel to each national park, there's two sections, to travel and traveled to. And as he travels to them, as we now travel to them, we move it from one side to the other. But currently, those are all boxed up in our storage unit because we decided to travel a little bit harder. And that's a huge wall. I mean, this wall is probably like 20 foot by 20 foot with these framed postcards and different knickknacks we get from different national parks. And so we also buy different things. So we have dream catchers from some national parks. We have bat signs from others. We have a lot of different little knickknacks that we pick up along the way to commemorate those and to remember them by. Thank you so much for asking. We really enjoy this interaction that we get to do with you. And we're super excited to continue to engage with you on our Facebook group, Parklandia Rangers, or our Instagram at Parklandia Pod.
Yeah, so reach out to us anytime with questions, comments, conversations, and we're more than happy to chat with you and answer your amazing questions. So thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Parklandia Podcast, a show about national parks by iHeartRadio.
Created by Matt Kerouac, Brad Kerouac, and Christopher Hasiotis.
Produced and edited by Mike Johns.
Executive produced by Christopher Hasiotis.
Special thanks to Gabrielle Collins, Crystal Waters, and the rest of the Parklandia crew.
And hey, listeners, if you're enjoying the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people like you find our show.
You can keep up with us on social media. Check out photos from our travels on Instagram at Parklandia Pod, and join in the conversation in our Facebook group, Parklandia Rangers.
Thank you so much for listening.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.